Thank you so much, brother. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful, wonderful presence of God here. Amen? Amen. Amen. We're here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I just want to thank you for allowing us to be here today. And my wife, Sandra, with me, and her mom and dad are here. And even my sister got saved today, and she came. I was shocked to see her. And it's like coming home when we come here to Temple Prayer and Praise in Napanee, and I mean that, and we just appreciate you folk. And I want you to know today that we're not just here filling in because the pastor's away. We thank God we're here. We're not just here filling in and because it's a holiday weekend. And I want you to know that I believe it's divine appointment. I believe with all my heart that God has divinely appointed for you to be here today. We're not just putting in another hour and wishing we can get out and get to Shula's Joe's or get to Subway or get wherever we're going and get our stomachs full. And I know some of us are fading away. I know it's Brother John, you're losing weight back there. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And I shouldn't pick on you, brother. I only pick on people I like. Amen, amen. And so, it is an honor to be here. As you know, we have several arms of our ministry, and one of them is Temple Christian Tours, and there are tour brochures. In September, we're going back to Lancaster, and they have a brand new Joseph drama in Sight and Sound. And when you phone in, say that you're from Temple of Prayer and Praise, and sincerely, we'll give you a 10% discount, which is roughly $50 off, because we would love to see you come and join us on one of these tours. You know, it was here where the fourth arm of our ministry was birthed. It was here during Christmas Eve, 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, that the Proverbs were here in our special service, and they have Pastor Jose with them, who last week was on Huntley Street, was back in Canada, but it was through you folk. It was through the donations that was given in this church that they put the first indoor toilet that they have ever had in their church in Cuba. And I'm here to report I've sat on that toilet since. I'm not going to give any more information than that, but I'm so glad that you people slipped that money in Jose's hand. Because it's better than the outdoor toilets with the flap or whatever. But I won't go there. But anyway, it was through here. It was right here that God began to stir Cuba in my heart. Now, we had had invitations to go to Thailand, to go to India, Scotland, and several Philippines. And I never felt the timing was right. But right here in the church, right here, when Dave Daw said, "This pastor makes $15 a month." I said, $15 a month. They eat rice and beans every meal, except for once they have chicken a month. And that blew me all the water. I mean, that's our Tim Hortons money in a month pretty well. That's our drive through, our double double, in John's case, triple triple. And I want you to know, there you go again, brother. It must be the anointing setting in, because I don't have this written down to pick on you. How many know it's okay to have a good time in church? Amen. But the fourth arm of our ministry, Cuba, since then we've been there 5 times. If Jesus tarries, Lord willing, we're going to be there again in coming late fall. But you folk have been a blessing. Thank you for your love offering. I did not know that it was going to be given that appeal. But thank you for everything that you do on behalf of this ministry in Cuba. And if you could but see, and right now my brother's going to play just a little song. We are going to sing, but a little insert from Cuba. And it's just maybe a minute or two long. It's not very long. But it'll just show a little bit. This is Mission Sunday. And so a little bit about Cuba and the mission work there, if you would, my friend. That's their church in Cuba. We like to feed them the best meal they've ever had when we go down.
An image flashed across my TV screen.
We bought a bicycle on behalf of your gifts to this pastor. Here we are feeding them, and also the service on the right. It's unbelievable, the hunger for God. This is an outside banquet this past December. Over 200 people were fed. This is a new church that we're building, putting a roof on, whole foundation. These are the humanitarian goods you folk did, the entire bags in one of the trips over. This ministry purchased chairs. They were just sitting on wooden benches. They're unloading the chairs here. That just gives you a little clip about what's happening in the ministry, and we don't like to take too long a time, but the most recent update, and I know Sister Margaret has made a lot of different stuff, but she asked me this morning, can you tell a little update or what's been happening in Cuba? And for them, some of those that were at the Builders Banquet, but I will hear this, and some of it's duplicate, but our most recent trip was December. And we felt the attack right from the time. We flew in on Friday. They were not going to let us at the border. They were not going to let us take any of our 8 suitcases of humanitarian goods. And, I mean, that's a big part of it. When the people hear that you're coming, they know that they're going to get some toothpaste and toothbrush and deodorant. One pastor's wife, tears coming down her cheeks, she said, I prayed for weeks that I could have some deodorant. And she said, now I'm going to have it. As she held it, think about it. I'm still okay. I used mine this morning. Praise the Lord. But think about it. It's an answer to prayer. And so they stopped us at the border for over an hour and a half. They opened every suitcase. They opened every bag. And it ended up we had to bribe them and give them $400 Canadian in order for them to let us go on in. And I said, well, do you take visa or anything? And they said, no, no, no. And you knew it was like a thing that they were going to pocket the minute that you got on through. But you're at their mercy. So Friday, we felt just, again, spiritual warfare. Saturday, it was a minister's conference. And it was over 200 people packed into a church. And I knew I couldn't take enough humanitarian bags for Sunday and Saturday because there was a congregation on Sunday of around 200 people. So what I did is I went on perfectpen.ca and I got over 300 pens. And in Spanish, I had greetings in Christ. We love you from Canada. And when we passed out the pens, you would have thought you were giving $1,000 bills. And these pens cost less than $1 each, and there was a deal on. And you would have thought. And Sunday, doctors came up to us that were not at the meeting on Saturday. And they said, could we have a pen? We heard you were giving out pen. And they said, we have a lot of, you call them, he says, it's recipes. He meant prescriptions. He said, we have a lot of things that we have to write out too. And so we had some extra pens, but it's unbelievable. Say, what is a blessing to them? And then Sunday, the elders were lying in a church, and I showed you that we're redoing, and we made a commitment. A church that's not as big as this corner here Over 175 people packed into that church on a Sunday morning, their heads up through the window, lined out the door, and they were so hungry to hear the gospel of Jesus. I mean hungry. They were thirsty. They want to hear about God. Revival's happening in Cuba. And if we could, we can't because of budget, but if we could, we would go more often. On the Sunday morning service at the altar, a demon manifested. Down there, the occult, witchcraft is big. We walked through Havana Square. There was the pastor would say, there's a witch, there's a witch, there's a witch, there's a witch. And they're proud to have their little stands out there, and they're witches, and Satan worship and everything. And so on Sunday morning, as we were praying for people to be touched by a miracle power of God, then a demon manifested. It took over 5 men to hold that little lady down that was demon-possessed. But I'm here to say, even in Cuba, the power of God rose up, and that woman was totally delivered and set free of that demonic and that demon. Praise the Lord. But I won't give any more of an overture than that because of time. But it is an unbelievable experience. And you folk are the only other church, except for Kingston Gospel Temple, that gave us and give us support. Sometimes we'll go in and they'll take an offering. But you church, your church and you people have been so kind towards Cuba. And personally, we're here to say thank you. And it is making a difference in Cuba in a special way. Praise the Lord. We're going to sing one little chorus just before I preach this morning. I'm preaching a different message this morning. And the title of my message is Jesus really welcome? Is Jesus really, really welcome? You see, we can have church. We can be in our home. We can have our lifestyles. And we're so busy. And you know, this morning, I want Jesus to feel welcome in this church. 3 weeks ago today, the Queen was in Toronto. And some of you just might have seen her on CTV and whatever. And she visited a church in Toronto. And it actually was St. James Cathedral. And the article on the front page of the Toronto Star says, like most churches, St. James has been having difficult getting any numbers, any people out. However, on this occasion, because the Queen was there, demand was so great, they had to issue tickets for the event. So many, many people wanted to get in. It seemed like she was the God actually coming as an English woman. The Queen was in Toronto. I'm here today to say that someone far greater than the Queen. I'm not against the Queen. God bless the Queen. God save the Queen. I mean that. But I'm here to say today that someone greater than the Queen is at Temple of Prayer and Praise this morning. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And His name is Jesus. Praise the Lord. Jesus is here. Thank God for the testimony of healing this morning. I mean that. God is no respecter of person. God wants to do miracles in our midst. God wants to set our lives free. God wants even these young people to be sitting on the edge of their seat. God wants our children to come anticipating, expecting, what's going to happen in church today? What's going to happen in church today? That church was lined out the door because the Queen was there. I want you to know things are going to happen today because the King is here. And His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And we can get excited over that. We can get excited. It's greater than even the Napanee Fair being on. Yeah. Now that's pretty exciting. Praise the Lord. When I was a kid, I'm going to tell my age a bit here. Not near as old as you, though, John. Praise the Lord. A little thinner, too. Amen. I am picking on you, brother. When I was a kid, the most exciting thing in Napanee is you'd go down the main street and you'd watch the bus go by. Whew! Because the 401 wasn't in or anything else. And so now the fair's pretty important. The signs go up and everybody's excited because the fair's on. I want you to know we've come to church today and it's exciting. Because the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the miracle worker, Jesus is in our midst, praise the Lord. And we're going to see great and wonderful things. The worship team is going to join me. You do not have to stand. There's a little chorus that says, "Come Holy Spirit, you're welcome." And I want you to know today that we can come in here hurting and we can leave hurting. We can come in and we can go through the motions of church and we can get it over with. And we can say, "Well, Pastor, we had another good service," in and out, whatever. But you know, I want God to touch our lives today. I want Jesus to feel welcome today. Yes, I have some notes, but I don't care if I have to set those notes aside. I want God to minister. Not my will, God, but your will. And you know, even in Cuba, they can't understand English. I have an interpreter, and we're getting a new interpreter because I'm a little hard to follow as I go up and down the aisles and kick the devil in Cuba. And this chap up there is getting a little old to kick for me. And so I'm getting a little younger translator to join me. But you see, today, Holy Spirit, I want you to just to come in. And Cuba, they don't understand English, but as we sing, "Come Holy Spirit, we need thee," the anointing of God moves in. Their hands begin to lift. And the presence of God fills the temple and begins to minister in their lives. No matter what you need in your life today, God is the miracle worker. You may be going through a hard time. You may be going through a time of discouragement. The devil may have been booting you around and you may be down and close to out. Do you know, I think this church is really neat. I mean that. Even people in ministry go through some difficult times and pray for your pastor, and you got a great pastor. And I was sitting in here and I put my head back and I see scriptures on the ceiling of this little room here. I don't know if you knew that, folks, but you walk in there and they've got scriptures all over. And I just looked up, and right where I was looking, Matthew 8 says, "Do not worry about your life. God will look after you." 1 Corinthians 1 and 8 says, "He will keep you and give you a strong end." And I thought, that is so neat. You can be in here waiting on the Lord, meditating. You look up, and there's the Word of God pouring into you as you even sat there today. This little chorus says, "Come Holy Spirit." Let's sing it together. And even there, if you need a miracle from God, He's greater than cancer. "Come Holy Spirit, I need you. Going to sing that verse two or three times, that same verse. "Come Holy Spirit, I need thee. Oh, come Holy Spirit, I need." All over this people today, Lord, let your healing flow. "Come sweet Spirit." You're greater than sickness. You're greater than disease. In the name of Jesus, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. And thy power, come in thine own special. One more time, church. We want you to feel welcome today, Jesus. Yes, come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Reason we're here, we have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come Is Jesus really welcome? Let's lift up holy hands. The King is here today. Hallelujah. And let us lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify His name. Mighty God, hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb of God in temple and prayer and praise, Lord. Feel welcome in our midst, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. You're welcome, Lord. You're welcome, Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. God, your word says it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit. Holy Spirit, continue to be the guest of honor. What an awesome presence that we have felt from the very beginning of this service. God, have your way. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much, musicians. Is Jesus really welcome? Is Jesus really welcome? Revelation 3 and 20. The scripture says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is Jesus saying. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him and he with me. Jesus is speaking here. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Many people think that this is to the unsaved. But Jesus here is speaking to the churches. The one church, he says in Revelation 2, church, you're dead. To another church, he says, you know, I know that you appear to be rich, but you really have little strength. To another church, he's saying that you're in a lukewarm state. And he's saying, I would that you either be hot or cold. Because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out, Jesus said himself. So today I want to say, is Jesus really welcome? Let's prioritize. Let's examine our schedules. Let's take a hard, hard look into the days that we're living. You see, these are exciting days. Paul said to Timothy, in the last days, perilous times will come. How many of you know that these are the last days? According to Bible prophecy, and your pastor is great in the prophetic word, and according to Bible prophecy, Matthew 24, the entire chapter has now been fulfilled. And one of the next great events is going to be the rapture of the church. The trumpet of the God is going to sound, for the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven, and the church is going to be snatched away. But Paul said in the last days, perilous times are going to come. Things are going to happen in the world that we have not seen during our time. Toronto Star, June the 20th, front page of one of the second sections says, how will democracy now fare in the world of the New World Order. The exact time that the G20 and the G8 was gathering in Toronto. These are the last days. Jesus is coming soon. Things are changing. This past week's newspaper, 2010, is the hottest year ever on record. And you know, you think, boy, we've had a great summer and everything else. It goes on, and this article states, Northern Thailand is struggling through the worst drought they've ever had throughout the years in the past 20 years. Israel is in the middle of their longest and most severe drought since the 1920s. The Arctic Sea ice is now melting to its thinnest state. These are the last days. Jesus, feel welcome. Front page of the Toronto Stars, where the police cars 3 weeks ago today or a month ago today were set on fire in our own Toronto, the good. And it goes on and on and on. My cry today is, Jesus, are you really welcome in our church? Is Jesus really welcome to move freely and to bring change within our church? Hebrews 12 and 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Is Jesus really welcome? You may say, but Bob, that's a funny question. You know the history of our churches. Why do you think we're here? Yes, Jesus is welcome. But you know, we can have a head knowledge. The Bible says we can have a form of godliness, but deny the true power thereof. Is Jesus really welcome? I preached in one of the fastest growing churches. He's actually a pastor from Newfoundland. You can relate with that. Reverend Everett Flight. I think Pastor Lush knows him. Peel Pentecostal Church. A church that has been through the years. A great church, but then division set in. And disaster set in. And pettiness set in. And the enemy started to get, do you know, it's important that we love one another. It's important that you support each other. It's important, I mean that. You see, devil can get in and try to get us bickering and try to get us, oh, I don't like the pastor. Let's have roast pastor and student board members today. Let's just rip ourselves right apart. Do you know, in the last days, I believe God is going to bring a move of God, and it has to be unity. It has to be one accord. And Isaiah says, forget about the past. You know, we've had great days of revival. I remember as a boy being in this church, as a boy, and you can remember wonderful days of revival. But you know something? We need, and the word Isaiah 43 says, you know, it's great to look back, but we can't live in the past. Let's recognize that God said, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And God wants to do, the word of God says, a new thing. I'm careful with the word new, because a lot of times when we say something is new, people are running around and they're shutting down the altars. They're not preaching the word of God, and they don't dare preach hell, and they don't preach about the blood. They don't preach about this or that, because that's the new thing that has come in to the churches. But Pastor Everett Flight, his church, he came from Labrador City, several hundred people. He came to Peel Pentecostal Church, less than 50 people now, because a division had set in. He cried at the front of the church, and this is a man that I know personally. He's not an extremist. He's not someone that you can't trust. He had an encounter with Jesus, and at the front of his church, tears run down his cheeks. And Jesus, he got up, and Jesus said, Everett, I'm not welcome in your church anymore. He said, that's why nothing's happening or very little is taking place. You've actually programmed and you keep me right out now, and I've got no place to move in your church. And he began to weep. The pastor wept. Can you imagine? And I'm here to say this morning, in this church, is Jesus really welcome? I'm going to answer that in a moment. But you know, Reverend Flight, he went to every door of their church. There were seven doors. With tears running down his cheeks, with tears coming down his cheeks, he opened up the doors and he said, Jesus, come back in to Peel Pentecostal Church. Jesus, come back in. And he said, things begin to happen starting that Sunday. They didn't have a worship team. You have a beautiful worship team. They didn't have a worship team. They didn't have a piano player. But all of a sudden, as of that day, they said, Jesus, we're going to prioritize and bring you back into the church. We want you to feel welcome. And they said, he was outside doing something with the flower bed. And a young man on a bicycle pulled in. And he was from another church in Brampton. But he had giftings. But the church didn't need his giftings. They were so big. And he said to the pastor, Flight, he said, do you happen to need a piano player and a worship leader? He said, I would love to do that. And things begin to take place in the spirit realm. And God began to bring people because Jesus was now welcome back in the church. I shared that with Paul Melanchuk, Pastor Paul from the Prayer Palace. We go in there once a year. We didn't think even hardly it was sinking in because we were around the lunch table. We turned on the television set, and on October Thanksgiving Day, we were there the week after. We turned on the week before, and here's Paul Melanchuk talking about the pastor in Peel Pentecostal Church. He said, could it be that Jesus isn't welcome in a lot of our churches? And he says, I never want that to happen here at the Prayer Palace. And he stopped the service right on television. And he says, I want my board members, I want people right now to go to every door of this church. And he started to cry in the Lord. And he said, Jesus, come on back in. Jesus, come on back in. Jesus, come on back in. And he, you know, the anointing, even over the television, you could sense as Jesus was welcome in the church. I'm going to say today, is Jesus welcome in Temple of Prayer and Praise this morning? And I'm going to answer because I know your pastor and I know you people, and I'm here to say yes, 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 yes. I believe with all my heart, as your worship songs were about Jesus, many times our songs aren't about Jesus anymore. They're about anything but Jesus when you go into churches. But I thank God, and I believe all the more, as we get hungry and thirsty for God, let's allow Jesus to feel welcome in our church. Amen. Oh God, we want you to feel welcome. You see, Zechariah 4:6, he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord, not by might, not by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. You see, revival is only going to happen as we allow Jesus to move by the freedom of the Holy Spirit. We're not always going to understand how come this happens. Sometimes we try so hard with our intellect to figure God out. We can't always understand the workings of the Holy Spirit. But you'll know and you'll sense, you'll know this is God moving in the midst of his people. And I'm here today to challenge each one of us today. Oh God, we want you to feel welcome in our church like never before. You see, the seeker sensitive, there's a new move coming in our churches. And the seeker sensitive move says, we don't want to do anything that might offend a visitor. If someone's here and the gifts of the Spirit, if I lift my hands or a tear begins to come down my cheek, well, that might turn them right off and they might not come back again. I'm here to say, no, no, no. We need to let God be God in our churches, praise the Lord. We need to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said. We don't have to be embarrassed to say that the Temple of Prayer and Praise is a full gospel church that believes the word of God from cover to cover. Praise the Lord. If there's any extremes, if there's any error, your pastor will deal with that individual. But oh, church, let's get excited for Jesus. Let's allow the power and the Holy Ghost to flow in our services and through our lives like never before. See, many churches are so concerned, what if it's too emotional? What if people think we get so excited and they don't want to, it may offend them and they don't want to ever come back. We better put a lid on all that stuff and not really allow Jesus to be welcome in our church. But I thank God for this church this morning. Yes, Jesus is welcome in Temple of Prayer and Praise. Yes, 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 and I thank God for that. And you know, I believe with all my heart that as we're hungry and as we're thirsty for God, you're going to see and sense a greater anointing. Do you know, Napanee needs a revival. Napanee needs a move of God. You know, I can go to Cuba, and that's exciting. I mean, it is exciting. But you know what's going to be exciting? When this church is packed out every Sunday and maybe has two services, because God is going to bring revival to Napanee, to Salby, to Bath, to Deserana, to Morven. God is going to move by His Holy Spirit. You believe it today? That's going to be exciting. It's great to hear the prayer meetings, the revival time. We've got to expect that God's going to do it. Napanee, we need to see people saved. People are going to hell without Jesus. That's not just some evangelist word. The Bible says if our name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, either you know Jesus or you don't know Jesus. There's no other way to get to Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh God, yes, I thank you today that you're welcome in this church, in our ministry that God has entrusted to us. And as you know me, we didn't ask to be called into the ministry. I was a Dominion store manager. Sander was with the Board of Education. And God called us out of the local church as revival was taking place. And we were thrust into the ministry 32 years ago. It was a Holy Spirit ministry. I don't understand everything, why things happen the way they do. We went for 28 out of 30 nights in the Maritimes back when we first were thrust in after the Living Temple stage. And we were thrust into the Maritimes. Every city we went to, God be the glory. Charlottetown, we went Moncton, we went Bathurst, we went throughout the entire Maritime. Every service, the Spirit of God moved. The altars were lying. Miracles were taking place. As the Holy Spirit felt welcome to move. And I want you to know that's the key. The key is that we allow the Spirit of God to move. We've tried to do it ourselves. We've tried to get to some seminar, get here and do that, and turn it in our head and try to make it happen. It's not going to be a man thing. It's got to be a God thing. Jesus, yes, you're welcome. And you know, in this old ministry, we've been in situations. I think of Caladar, and I might have mentioned it, and I know time is fleeting, but Caladar, the new move says, oh, you don't want to offend anybody. If there's a visitor here today, oh, what happens if somebody happens to get a little bit excited for Jesus? Do you know, Sister Yeomans, 87 years old, she used to, the Holy Ghost would come upon her, and I was just a kid, her little leg would go whoop, just like that, and Sister Yeomans would dance in the Holy Ghost, and you knew it was God. I don't care if it offends anybody. I want God to be God, praise the Lord. God will look after their intellect. We were in Caladar Tuesday night. Quiet. Caladar is a quiet place. A whole lot of people, 60, 70, 80 plus. Nothing wrong with that. Nobody there. Everybody's young here. Praise the Lord. We have eternal life. We are. But it's pretty quiet in Caladar. They don't clap their hands like you just did, okay? Pretty quiet in Caladar. We're having revival service on a Tuesday night. The pastor leans over, and I don't know if you've ever heard of Reg Weber. Well, he's a musician, used to be with us. Some we go with a guitar. Reg Weber, on a Tuesday night, where it's supposed to be quiet, brought in 10 or 12 rowdy young people. I mean, they were on fire for God. You would have thought they just won the Stanley Cup. They were so excited about Jesus, and they were right rowdy. Well, you got to realize you've got the quiet saints. You got the rowdy corner. Now the pastor leans over and says, they're here. They're here. I said, who's here? Who's here? I don't know who's here. We're just visitors. We're in and out. Love them and leave them. Praise the Lord. We're here. We're gone. Amen. He says, two visitors. They're Sikhs. One had a turban. And he says, two visitors are here. We've been praying for weeks and months that these visitors would come. I'm talking about Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Jesus, you're welcome. Well, picture this. Who could have ever imagined, why would Jesus ever allow these two Sikhs to come when the rowdy young people were here, with the quiet saints are here? What a service we're going to have. I begin to sing that old song, God's got an army.
marching to, wow, lo and behold, the young people took off, and they were waving, and they were hooting, and they were going around on a hallelujah march. How many's ever seen a hallelujah march? I mean, they went around that church. I saw a turban go this way, and a turban go that way. I thought it was one of Sandra's puppets, and I thought the head was just going like that. Now, in the natural, you'd say, God, do you not know there's a new seeker-sensitive move? Why would you allow visitors to come and see these young people so excited for Jesus? It doesn't make sense, God. We're supposed to have a quiet service here. It's Tuesday night in Caledar. God had a different plan. As we allowed the Holy Spirit to move, the young people, they get excited. They don't have to be at youth convention. They don't have to be at youth camp. They don't have to be in some youth service. It's okay for the young people to get excited right here in Sunday church. Amen? Praise the Lord. Do you know, after I preached this simple message, the first two hands that went up for salvation were the two visitors, the Sikhs. Pastor and I went right back, said the sinner's prayer, and they asked Jesus into their heart. Do you know what they said? They said it was the young people. We couldn't believe. We'd never seen anybody excited. And we knew that the Jesus they had was the Jesus that we wanted. I want you to know, it's time for us to be open. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Let the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean you have to do cartwheels. If your personality isn't to do cartwheels, that's fine. Just swing from the chandeliers if you want. 32 years I've heard about the church. Oh, those people there are going to swing, roll down the aisles and swing from the chandelier. I've never seen it yet. I want to see it. I come this morning. Can you imagine, Pastor Lush, and the heat that I'd feel, praise the Lord, if all of a sudden people were rolling down here and swinging and not even getting clipped by those fans. Praise the Lord. I'm just joking with that. But I want you to know it's okay for us to let God be God. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in our midst. And all through our ministry, the key has been nothing that we've got to offer. We were in a Christian Reformed church in Hamilton. A young boy, perhaps the age of you guys over here, a young boy was into Satan worship. He came to the altar. We had never been in the church before. 15 minutes in the service, we felt, have an altar call for the young people. Have an altar call. Well, I want you to know, you fight that a little bit. Like, you're saying, well, God, that can't really be you. They don't know who we are. If I stop now, but you realize this is the Lord leading. This is the Lord saying to do it. So I stopped the whole service. I said, want all the young people to come up right now. We prayed for them, and one after another, young people would go under the power of God. I'm saying about Jesus, you're welcome. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. We can't always figure it out with our noggin. My noggin would have said, no, this doesn't make any sense. They're going to run us right out of this Reformed church. But no, will you go with God? And you know, God brought this one young man, went out of the power. An hour later, he was still under the power. An hour and a half later, he was still under the power. 2 hours later, they'd already had their lunch. And the pastor was starting to feel the pressure. Says, wake him up, wake him up. I said, no. He's in an operation. God put him under. I didn't put him under. I'm not going to wake him up. I'm big on that. God put you under. I'm waiting until he's through with you. How many want to be on an operating table and come up halfway through? No. So about 2.5 hours later, the young man came back, and we went on to somewhere else. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Jesus, you're welcome. We went somewhere else, and you know, the grandparents came up 2 or 3 weeks later. Said, you'll never believe what happened that day in our grandson. He was in Satan worship. He was in occult. In his room, he would stab things and love to see blood and love to be in the things of satanic. And he says, that day, Jesus totally delivered him and set him free as the Spirit of God came. Jesus, you feel welcome. Secondly, this morning, I've got to skip over a whole lot because of time. But you know, not everybody's going to get excited when we feel welcome and allow the moving of the Holy Spirit. Even in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, the name of Jesus was forbidden. Peter and John were there, and they were sharing about Jesus, and people came to them, and they commanded that they would not speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied and said, is it better that we obey and be pleasing in the sight of God, or do we listen to man?
Do you know, I believe with all my heart that it's time for us to say, God, we don't know the answer to revival. We don't know how you're going to do it, God. But, oh, God, we want you to feel welcome. Oh, Jesus, we want you to feel welcome. And if we lift Jesus higher, he's going to move in our midst. Secondly, this morning, not only does he feel welcome in our church, but I want to ask you this morning, is Jesus welcome in our homes? Does he really feel welcome in our homes and in our family? He wants to be first place. He cares about you. He cares about your sons and daughters. How many have unsaved loved ones? May I see your hand? God cares about them. He hasn't forgotten them. He knows them by name. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. But God, we want you to feel welcome. The scripture says that God looked after Noah and his family. The scripture says Rahab the harlot in Joshua 2 and 18, through her obedience, the entire family was spared as she hung out the scarlet cord. When the battle of Jericho took place, it was through the obedience that God looked after families. Jesus, is he welcome in our homes? Moses and Aaron, when I see the blood, I will pass over you and the plague will not come upon you. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, all through the word of God, God looked after families. Jesus, you're welcome. Acts 16 and 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and your house will be saved. The promise in Acts 2 is the Holy Ghost was to the you and your children. But I close this morning, and I'm skipping a lot because of time. Is Jesus really welcome in the fullness of your life this morning, in your heart? Do you know that you're born again? Do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt? It's one thing to hear messages from Pastor Lush. And as I say, I love your pastor. He's a wonderful man of God. He preaches the truth of the word of God. But it's one thing to hear about it. I heard recently that statistics say that many, many people sitting in our churches have a head knowledge, but likely less than 20% many times really have personally. I can't hardly believe. I say, God, somewhere along the line, we've got to get beyond the just hearing. You can know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved today. You can know that you're part of the family of God. You don't have to guess. You don't have to hope. You can't make it on mom and dad's salvation. I thank God for my in-laws, Ralph and Louise, the wonderful godly parents. We can't make it because they're saved. We can't make it because my mom and dad are in heaven. It's a personal relationship. Is Jesus really welcome in your life today? For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son. Toronto Star. Again, is Michael Jackson going to heaven? Think about it. Toronto Star is asking the question, is Michael Jackson going to heaven? We were ministering in Melbourne, a church of over 1,000, the night that Princess Diana was killed in the accident. The buzz went through the congregation. People were saying, is Princess Diana in heaven? Is Princess Diana saved? I stopped the service. You could feel the depression. I said, folks, only God knows the condition of Michael Jackson. Only God knows the spiritual condition of Princess Diana. But I want you to know today, people shouldn't have to look at our lives and say, I wonder if they know Jesus. I wonder if they're born again. I wonder where they stand today. I believe with all my heart, we don't have to pressure people to Jesus, but I believe people should see Jesus in our lifestyle. They should know that we are the redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Is Jesus really welcome in your life today? The greatest miracle of all is salvation. Today, is Jesus welcome in your life? Yes, a Savior, John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world. Romans 10 and 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not only is he Savior, but he's healer today. Is he welcome to do a miracle in your life today? We can come in and not really think, Jesus, thank you that you did a miracle. We heard testimonies of healing, but you wouldn't do it perhaps for me. No, no, no. God wants to do a miracle in your life today, if you'll but welcome the healing Jesus. Isaiah says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, with and by Jesus' stripes. He's a deliverer today. Habits, bondages. Oh, he come, Luke 18:4-18 says he come to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance, to set at liberty those that are bruised. This morning, you know, many times Satan, and I don't care how long we've served Jesus, many times there's areas of our lives that the old enemy knows is a weakness. The old enemy has, there's a bondage there. And it's easy. Many times people think that they have the ministry of cleaning up other people's lives. No. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you. I come to save you. But there's a Holy Spirit today. And Jesus is here. If you have habits, if you have bondages, it could be fear, it could be worry, it could be gossip, it could be other areas of your life. God wants to help you, to set you free, so you'll be a greater witness than ever before. Is Jesus really welcome? I close with this. Is he really welcome to send you forth with a fresh anointing of the Spirit of God? I believe today that revival is going to take place. It's not just going to happen because the pastor's preaching a wonderful sermon. It's going to happen because the church is on fire for God. It's going to happen because they're going to welcome Jesus. God, I don't want to just hear about revival around the world. Have you received the Holy Ghost? Acts 19:2 says, have you received the Holy Spirit in your life since you believed? Acts 1:8 says, ye shall receive the Holy Ghost and receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You see, we need to be effective. We need to go forth, not pressure people, not force people, but to be a light, to be the salt. God will bring people across your path if you'll but say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Holy Spirit, would you lead me today? Holy Spirit, would you anoint my life? It could be as you're having your third breakfast, John. It could be as we're, I'm sorry for that. I can't be sorry. I'm doing it over again. But anyway, you see, it's in our daily walk, a divine appointment. It's in our daily walk. I think I told you the story. I'm a Dominion store. I like groceries. I go in grocery stores. I do. I still do. I go up and down the aisles. We're on our way to Lion's Head. I never like to be late for anything. I do not like to be late. I see a brand new Zaire's grocery store. Divine appointment. Zaire's grocery store. I said to Sandra, Windstar Vans. I got lots of power there. I said to Sandra, I've got time to check that grocery store out before we get to this wedding. So I go in the grocery store, Owen Sound, 200 miles from here. Divine appointment. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. I go up and down the aisles just like this. I'm checking it out. Oh, the meat, oh, it's a little too fat here. And the produce is old. That should be cold. And I'm going forth. And back then it was the English labels out. Now it doesn't matter. French labels, doesn't matter. Throw them on. Praise the Lord. I'm going up and down the aisles. Divine appointment. I hear someone say, there's Bob Winter. Well, you got to realize, folks, as far as I was concerned, I'm in a grocery store. Nobody in Owen Sound knows me. So I just flub it off, and I'm going down the next aisle. There's Bob Winter. Well, I'm a no-name product. It isn't like I'm not David Maynes or 100 Huntley Street or one of these big shots or Joyce Myers or John Hagee or any of them. It's Bob, I hear someone say so. I stop right there. There's a lady from Napanee. You guys would know her most likely. She had just moved to Owen Sound, just come through a divorce. She moved to Owen Sound, was with her daughter. That morning, she said, you know, I'm so discouraged. I'm just down. She said, I think I'll throw in the towel. Because, God, you don't really care. But she said, would it be possible today to send somebody across my path that could actually encourage me? Then she said, would it be possible that they could be from Napanee? Think about it. I didn't pull into that grocery store because holy Bob, you know, holy Joe from Alamo. I didn't feel God say, pull in there. I've got a work for you to do, son. I pulled in because I like grocery stores. You could be at Tim Hortons because you like Timmy's. But in there, God could have a plan for that day. And don't underestimate as you let Jesus feel welcome in your life. And as I said, It blew me on the water. We stopped right then. Prayed right in front of the meat counter. The Spirit of God moved in. I didn't care what the groceries looked like after that. This little divorced woman received the answer to her prayer that day because God saw her in Owen Sound and her life was being torn apart by the enemy. And I'm here today to say, are you willing to let Jesus feel welcome in your life? You don't have to go to Cuba, perhaps, or Africa, but right here, as the Spirit of God would open windows of opportunity, are you willing? It isn't going to be a you thing. It'll be a Jesus as he pours out, as he touches lives. Yes, Jesus, you're welcome to pour that anointing into my life. Could we have our heads bowed and our eyes closed? God, I thank you for these beautiful, beautiful people at Temple of Prayer and Praise. Lord, I thank you today that we can come to a church that we know that you're welcome in. I know this pastor. I know this people. I know, God, that they're more concerned with that you're pleased. They're more concerned, God, that they're in the center of your will. They haven't swung to a seeker-sensitive thing. They're not ashamed to allow you to move. I thank you that you're welcome in this church. And, Lord, we welcome you into our homes. We saw many, many tens and tens of people say they have unsaved loved ones. We pray for our unsaved loved ones, and we welcome you into our homes afresh. God, that we would prioritize. God, that our kids and our families that would see Jesus in our lives like never before. Feel welcome, Lord. And Lord, this morning, just as we come to the end of the service, Jesus, I ask today, if there's those here that need a miracle in their life, I ask, Lord, that you would move mountains on their behalf. I ask, healing Jesus, that you would touch their bodies. I ask if it's financial miracles that they need today, if there's relationships that is broken and they need to see a miracle in their life. How many today would say, I need a miracle in my home, in my family, in my life? May I see your hand? Yes, 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 several people. Last but not least, how many people would say, second last, would say, Bob, I want to be used of God. It's not a thing where you've got to go up and down the road and embarrass yourself and wave a banner or whatever. But as God would lead people across you in divine appointment, how many people will say, Jesus, I want you to be welcome to anoint my life. Jesus, I want you to feel welcome to bring people across my path. The Bible says that you can lay hands on the sick. The Bible says it's not limited. He's no respecter of person, that he wants to touch your life. How many would say this morning, you love Jesus with all your heart, but you'd be willing to say, yes, Lord, in the next few weeks and days and months, should you tarry, Lord, as you open the door, I want to be found faithful. I want that anointing to flow through me. Yes, 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 yes. Mostly everyone. Last but not least, do you know for sure today that you're born again? Do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is Savior? If the trumpet of God was to sound before 1 o'clock today, do you know for sure that you're going to be in heaven? If you get in a car accident within the next hour, do you know for sure? Jesus wants to feel welcome as you open up and say, God, I receive the gift of salvation. I repent and ask you to come into my heart. I will not embarrass you. I will not center you out. You don't have to always wonder, am I saved? You can know for sure. Are there those this morning who say, Bob, pray for me. I want to know for sure that I'm going to make heaven my home.
Not what you have required. You know, this next song is one of my favorite songs. As you can tell, a lot of the songs that we are doing are prayer songs. And I think we're just living in a day and age that we just want to just grab a hold onto something that we can sing in our car, raise our voices, and turn our mobile phones off, and don't tell anybody where we're going, and we make a fool of ourselves. At least I do. And cry out to God. And this is one of the songs that I sing in the car.